This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lin Mark and Wong Xiaoning. It's 7:37 a.m. Thursday, the 21st of May. And in about half an hour, we're going to be having The Breakfast Grill, where I'll be speaking with Raymond Gunn, CEO of Kellington Group Berhad. Now, Kellington is an integrated engineering solutions provider, and they specialize in ultra-high purity gas and chemical delivery systems, mechanical process engineering. They've also recently branched into the industrial gas segment with the opening of a plant in Kirteh, Terengganu. So we're going to be talking about that later on after the 8 o'clock news bulletin, and asking Raymond how a Kellington Group is going to wade through 2020 and a new normal. But speaking of a new normal, travel has certainly been affected. With movement control orders in place or variants across the world and COVID-19 fears. So we're asking you, would you use a travel bubble between countries in the region? So the travel bubbles here being kind of
safe zones.
Routes. Yeah, safe zones between a certain number of countries, say Japan, South Korea and China, for example. So let us know what you think. We're going to be taking a look at the results of the poll in just a few minutes, because given the health risks involved, there's really no straightforward path to recovery for this sector, is there?
Yeah, I mean, even as economies around the world slowly reopen, cross-border travel is still largely prohibited. Now, one innovative solution proposed by several governments around the world is this thing called the travel bubble. So Australia and New Zealand were the first to talk about forming one between them. And this month, China, South Korea opened a tightly controlled travel corridor between Seoul and 10 Chinese regions. And last week, Europe saw its first travel bubble as Estonia, Latvia and Lithuania opened their borders to one another.
But the question is, how will this new way of travel work? And does this chart a slow path to recovery for this beleaguered industry? For some insights, we have on the line with us Dr. Mario Hardy, CEO of the Pacific Asia Travel Association based in Bangkok. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Mario. So what considerations do you think would go into establishing a travel bubble between countries?
Good morning. Selamat pagi. The conditions to actually start a bubble are actually based on trust. You need a high level of trust between the two nations, but most importantly, you also need a level of trust in the healthcare systems of the respective countries is very critical. Also, trust of the border controls that are actually in place for health checks at entry levels as well as exit of the respective countries. So it actually requires close collaborations between various departments of the governments, of health departments or health ministries, immigrations and customs, airport securities, and of course many other players within the sector, and a trust also that the citizens and the residents of the respective countries will follow the guidelines in social distancing, as well as sanitizations, wearing masks, and et cetera, to ensure the safety and the healthcare of both the visitors as well as the residents.
So how viable is a strategy like this for countries in the Asia-Pacific, and if we look just specifically within ASEAN?
I believe it is definitely a possibility. I mean, in a very early stage of the crisis, this is something our organization was actually already talking about. We didn't actually call it bubble, we called it corridors. But if you look at Vietnam, for example, which is now nearly COVID-free, Thailand, which is moving in the right direction, getting there, I hope, within the next month or two, you could potentially see a corridor or a bubble, as you called it, to be open between the two respective countries, where residents and citizens of the respective countries could actually travel and visit each other, and potentially adding others also. There is one little caveat to this systems of bubble, is that trust also need to ensure that if one of the two countries decide to open a corridor or a bubble with another third country, that this original country also have the trust that this other country also have their measures. So that's the tricky part. You know, between two nations, probably easier. When you start involving third and fourth and other destinations, it adds complexity to the entire system.
But on the subject of measures, right, which you mentioned, Mario, I mean, establishing a travel bubble could be potentially difficult if each country involved has different requirements for airlines and travellers. So how far are we away from reaching a point where there are somewhat standard operating procedures that everyone agrees upon?
Yes, this is actually one of the biggest challenges we face at the moment, and something that our organization has been advocating for several weeks already. Not only ourselves, but all international organizations. So there is a certain level of standardization of the protocols and the processes between at least, at the very least, within a region. So let's say ASEAN, for example, that there is standards for airport procedures, for air travel, to also, to a certain degree, why not also having procedures, standard procedures for a minimum standard for hotels and restaurants and public places for sanitization to ensure the safety of everyone. There is already various discussions within ASEAN itself. There are discussions within other regions too. Many of the organizations such as IATA, ICAO, and ACI for Airport Council International are already putting procedures that are actually more recommended practice for the entire world, not necessarily for one region, in hope that actually many countries will follow these guidelines and we have some level of standardization moving forward, hopefully to facilitate travel for consumers.
But Mario, even assuming that a travel bubble can be, kind of established between different countries, my question is, would people want to do it? And, you know, one of the issues, of course, is cost, because the Qantas CEO said that, you know, FS might be as much as 8 to 9 times higher if physical distancing measures are made mandatory on planes. So that's another hurdle, right? Do you see people traveling?
Yes, I mean, I do believe that there will be some increases in prices compared to before. Obviously, costs for the airline operations will go up and for other providers too. But you also need to balance this also with the need of having people to travel at some point. I think that my most concern is about the trust that people will have in terms of traveling to destination with a clear understanding of the safety of the destination. The other big question that many actually are not asking at the moment is what are the travel insurance actually doing and how will they actually, move forward to protect the people as they travel? Will they be covered for healthcare? Will they be covered if there's cancellations or changes in flights as many of us have experienced over the last couple of weeks and months and some of the challenges around this area? But I do believe people will travel. There's a great desire for people to travel again. We did a survey in China specifically to understand if Chinese actually wish to travel overseas. And there's a great desire to escape to nature, to go and explore the world again as soon as travel borders are lifted. So I do believe people will travel, but their conditions and what they'll be looking for might actually be different.
So what other options are there on the table for countries to revive their tourism industries at this point?
I think that the focus initially for many destinations is and will be, at least for foreseeable futures, is domestic tourism and encouraging their own citizens to travel and take short weekends or holiday within the country itself, certainly at the very early stage. Next will be actually some regional travel, as we talked about, potentially corridors or bubbles between different countries when borders are opened. Long-haul travels to Europe or North America or other parts of the world or South America may actually come very, very much later in this at the current time.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Mario. And that was Dr. Mario Hardy, CEO of Pacific Asia Travel Association. And this is really an interesting subject, right? Because he ended there by pointing out which areas of travel he expects to recover fastest and recover slowest. And I do admit, you know, just on a personal basis, a long-haul flight that's more than 8 hours, right? 8-10 hours stuck on a plane. It doesn't sound very appealing to me at this point. You know, if it was maybe a 1 hour flight to hop down to Singapore, I could maybe justify, but not such a long flight on in a small enclosed space.
Well, I listened to this interview with the Trivago, which is a travel booking website. Their CEO Axel Heffer, and he gave some insight into what are the trends. Mm-hmm. And so far, what they've seen is that people only want to get into their cars.
Yes.
So because that's something that your own personal safe zone, right? Your car is something you can control,
and it's specifically your cars, right?
Yes.
It's not even a taxi or even a Grab, because the idea of being put in an enclosed space with even one
stranger.
strangers. Person, a stranger, yeah. is quite off-putting at this point.
So what they have noticed is that there are some bookings, and this is, I think, reference to Europe, right? Because, you know, we know the Europeans, to them, the summer holidays is extremely important. So what he's seen is that there are bookings for travel where people can drive to, so they're like 1-2 hours away from where they live. But what they want to book changes also. Last time, maybe they would stay in those resorts, you know, with a pool and lots of people. But now they're looking at apartments or small hotels where they're not kind of exposed to so many people, and they tend to be like out there, you know, in the middle of nowhere, these hotels. And very much like what Dr. Mario said, close to nature. That's what people are looking for. Some, you know, where you can really practice physical distancing up there in the mountains or near a lake where there's no one near you. So I think even for Malaysia, maybe we might see that Chuti Chuti Malaysia would be the way to go, and we would start looking at places which aren't so densely populated.
Absolutely. So do let us know what you think on the poll that we have running. Feel free to comment. We'll take a look at the results in just a bit. But right now we have some messages for you. And then up next, we're going to be taking a look at how retailers have been doing since shops started to open. Speaking with Dato' Sri Gary Chua, President of the Malaysian Retail Chain Association. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.